Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. This amounts to the largest act of deregulation in the history of the United States. We have got that story, plus the incredible missing grandma ring camera ransomware caper. But first, Washington Post CEO and publisher quits as newspaper implodes in delicious epic chaos, taking this from Zero Hedge, who are enjoying it. How the mighty have fallen in a poetic ending plot twist that even jaded conspiracy theorists would have trouble scripting. Washington Post CEO and publisher Will Lewis has abruptly and unexpectedly stepped down from his perch atop Jeff Bezos' crumbling media empire, at least as far as the newspaper print goes. Maybe it's not that unexpected, though. That's right, the same WAPO that spent years hurling fake news grenades at Zero Hedge, trying to get them deplatformed, demonetized, and disappeared from the internet, is now eating crow as their own house of CIA-funded cards collapses. Yes, this is an unapologetic victory lap. Zero Hedge outlasted another establishment hack, which earlier this week saw an in-house red wedding. I believe that is a Game of Thrones reference to all kinds of people get sliced, where hundreds of CIA conduits reporters were fired, and it feels good. Lewis's exit was announced late on Saturday around 6 p.m. Eastern Time, just days after he had helped orchestrate a bloodbath of layoffs that axed a whopping 30% of the staff, over 300 journalists sent packing, and then he went to the Super Bowl. In what can be described as a desperation move to staunch the bleeding from years of financial hemorrhaging and dwindling readership, Lewis, the ever-gracious Brit, framed his departure as a noble sacrifice in order to ensure the sustainable future of the Post. Meanwhile, as Semaphore notes, speaking of intelligence-connected news outlets, the real reason for Lewis's departure is that he presided over two major errors, one his and one of his boss's, Jeff Bezos, who's clearly grown bored with his vanity media project. First, Lewis blocked the Post reporting on his role in the UK phone hacking scandal, an infamous, legendary, I think rather slept-on story, James, that really does expose what goes on between the tech moguls and your government and your so-called media, preventing the publication of a story few would have read anyway. Then Bezos pulled a planned endorsement of Vice President Kamala Harris at the 11th hour for apparent fear of offending Orange Man. That endorsement wouldn't have made much of a difference politically, but hundreds of thousands of subscribers canceled over what they saw as craven capitulation. And I covered this, New World, last week on my morning show. Bezos fires about 33% of the Washington Post staff. Almost every person laid off was a registered Democrat. Activism replaced journalism. Now the bill is due. Mass layoffs fuel fears of death spiral at the Washington Post, which is a little bit what Bitcoin's been going through lately. And look who comes back. Oh, Milo. I wasn't looking for him, but I found him on the tweets the other day. James asking hilariously, does anyone have a list of the 300 laid off Washington Post reporters and their Twitter handles? I want to send individually tailored abuse to each. How Jeff Bezos brought down the Washington Post. He really ruined that Operation Mockingbird, Bilderberg, Katherine Graham family rag. And from visual capitalists. Do people trust the media or government more, James? I haven't looked at the link, but I can tell you without looking at the charts and the graphs, there is independent media, I believe, as we know and celebrate. Problematic as it may be, but this just in, there is no such GDMF thing as independent government, James. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong about that. And yes, this visual capitalist link is more delicious schadenfreude than hard-hitting news. But interestingly enough, they ask two questions. They ask the share of people who say, I trust media to do what is right, and I trust government to do what is right. So it's a very vague and open-ended thing. What's the point of this poll? But I did take satisfaction in the fact that the lowest trust in media in the world is apparently in Japan. 33% say trust media to do the right thing, so which is about right, because Japanese media is as awful as every other nation's controlled corporate mockingbird media. And it also notes that nearly every G7 nation has less than 50% trust in both the media and government. So mission accomplished on that front. But yes, with regards to the Washington Post in particular, this could not be happening to a more deserving institution. I know you've talked about I've talked about, we've talked about together collectively years and years ago, the Graham family and the CIA and their connections to the Post. And I'm sure everyone can think back to their favorite lowlights from the Washington Post's ignoble career of propagandism for the establishment, whether it's Watergate or whatever else. But I would invite people in the comments to leave your favorite lowlights from that. I'll just throw in a couple just from the past couple of months, because why not? The Brownstone Institute had a good post up last month on Washington Post won't say why trust in vaccines is gone, noting that the Washington Post had published a detailed investigation showing that childhood vaccination rates across the United States are falling sharply, particularly for measles. But of course, they don't tell you why that is happening. And the fact that the entire public was lied to through their teeth and gaslit and told that if you don't take this unproven genetic slurry, you are a cancer on society and you deserve to be put on an island and killed. They don't mention that part for some reason. Or who could forget the recent revelation of the AI-generated slop podcasts. Washington Post's AI-generated podcasts rife with errors and fictional quotes, which, of course, dedicated corporate tears will know earned the Washington Post the fakest AI-generated story of the year prize at this year's Fake News Awards, and deservedly so. But maybe signs that things are now starting to turn at this crumbling organization who has frittered away any chance of public good faith. Bezos media earthquake. Washington Post editorial board praises Trump admin's gutting CO2 rule. Interesting, which is about a story we're about to cover.
One of my favorites, James, was, and it was just an opinion piece. It was just an op-ed. As I very well documented in Media Monarchy, that's what they all switched to in 2016. Facts and information, we don't want that stuff. We want emotions and opinion, because that's what they thought sold. And I guess they haven't quite figured that out yet. One of my favorites was George Washington, GWU, big university over on the East Coast. George Washington University needs to change its name to distance itself from its legacy of, you know, all the abuses. Says the Washington Post that George Washington, yeah. And again,
that they can't even get that.
James, I did an interview because I actually back in the East Coast had buddies who worked at the Washington Post back in the day. I got actually a lot of cool promo media. You know, if I thought a lot of things got sent to college radio, I hadn't seen how much media got sent to the Washington Post. So, of course, they can't use it all either. So I do have some good promo media and records and things from the Washington Post from 25 years ago. I was able to hook up with a guy who had published a book, and it was about a weird murder case in France back in the late 1800s that ended up being a giant salacious story that the media and the public constantly followed, as we like to believe that all the media just went terrible now. Everybody was so smart before. They were never distracted by murder and mayhem. Really interesting story. It just kind of hits a lot of the Media Monarchy points. And I interviewed the author, Steve Livingston. And after we were done and we were, okay, duh, you know, we'll stop taping. He was like, man, how are you doing this? He didn't know how I was in my apartment doing an interview with him with a book I'd already read and had the promo and sent to me. He talked about, man, ever since Jeff Bezos took over, we're publishing like 600 pieces a day on the, it's just so, he was flabbergasted. And this should really kind of show you in some ways, and I'm not trying to dump on him at all, how blinded they were to the reality that had been staring them down the face. Again, already for decades, that has always really, really stuck with me, James. Again, a professional journalist at the Washington Post, one of the most important media outlets, you know, in my lifetime. I used to love to read the movie reviews and the horoscopes on Friday. That's just always really, really stuck with me. I also enjoyed watching Japanese TV at like 2 a.m. when we were there visiting. So that was kind of fun. And I was jet lagged and my time zones were all off. But yeah, watching baseball coverage at 2 in the morning in Japan was pretty fun. We'll move to our second story. On This New World next week, episode 619, where James Corbett has just been bringing all kinds of Orange Man good news lately on these episodes in 2026. Trump to repeal landmark climate finding in huge regulatory rollback. The Trump administration planning this week to repeal the Obama-era scientific finding that serves as the legal basis for federal greenhouse gas regulation, according to U.S. officials, in the most far-reaching rollback of U.S. climate policy to date. The reversal targets the 2009 endangerment finding, which concluded that 6 greenhouse gases pose a threat to public health and welfare. The finding provided the legal underpinning for the EPA's climate rules, which limited emissions from power plants, tightened fuel economy standards for vehicles that they all lied about under the Clean Air Act. That was just Volkswagen that lied about it, or was it Volvo? This amounts to the largest act of deregulation in the history of the United States, EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin said in an interview. The final rule, set to be made public later this week, removes the regulatory requirements to measure, report, certify, and comply with federal greenhouse gas emissions standards for motor vehicles, and repeals associated compliance programs, credit provisions, and reporting obligations for industries, according to admin officials. It would not apply to rules governing emissions from power plants and other stationary sources such as oil and gas facilities. But repealing the finding could open the door to rolling back regulations that affect those things as well. The move is likely to be seen as a victory for the fossil fuel industry, which for years has pushed back against federal climate regulations. Since taking office, DJ Trump has sought to repeal rules that his allies in the oil and gas industry have cited as overly burdensome, and he was the first president to ever do things for his buddies in the private sector. Trump has framed fossil fuels as vital to economic and national security, and he's argued that expanded reliance on them will help lower energy prices. From govoversight.org, the evidence is in. Endangerment finding was pre-cooked. Now, James, does this mean we think there's no environmental problems whatsoever? It's all completely made up, right?
Right. And we're all on board with big oil and yay, you know, of course, that's what this means. No, it means that we understand that this scam was never about protecting the environment. It was always about limiting your productive capabilities, limiting your economic opportunities, limiting and regulating and ultimately reducing the CO2, which, oh, by the way, is you. Because as we know from the UK studies that have come out about measuring people's breath for greenhouse gas emissions. Uh-oh, you're breathing out too much. Well, there's one way to solve that pretty easily. Let's put some bullets in your head. So that is what this agenda has always been about. It's about killing you. And so anyone cheering on the government in regulating and limiting your life completely misses the point. There is a low IQ take that is unfortunately very easy to have on this, which is that, yeah, well, they're only doing this because they want, you know, more energy for their AI data centers. Yes, that's true. That's a point that I've made over and over and over again while talking about this. But there is a bigger and more important point to what is going on right now. And that's reflected, for example, in a comment on the recently released Solutions Watch on The Great Reject is Upon Us. I just talked to Mark Morano about the U.S. pulling out of the UNFCCC, the U.S. pulling out of the IPCC, the failure of World Economic Forum, the UN crying out, oh my God, we're going to lose. If we don't get more money, we're going to fall apart. And so talking about those great things, and in that conversation, we did talk about the potential for the repeal of this endangerment finding and what that would mean. And again, there's some low IQ takes of people saying, oh, it's just all a scam, so we shouldn't be celebrating this. Yes, we should be celebrating this. And that's reflected in a comment from Corbett Report user Maynad, who writes, after studying Cory Morningstar's reporting on faux green agencies, the local sustainable nonprofit kicked me off the board for dissident commentary when I began to notice the ruse while I was pushing for meaningful mutual aid actions. They're happily banning plastic straws, supporting climate credits, teaching how to shop green, and cleaning up trash Walmart leaves behind, and are delighted to partner with the UN Corporate Climate Mitigation Project. I'm so glad this happened. Even a stopped clock is right once a day? Well, it's right once a day if it's a 24-hour clock, twice a day if it's a 12-hour clock, and I will take it. Yes, it is a good thing that these regulations are being repealed. Of course, the oligarchy is going to try to use it for their own nefarious agendas. That's not the point. We will also be against their nefarious agendas. But we do not want, complete the sentence, oh, it's all a psyop and we shouldn't be celebrating this, so we should be glad that the CO2 regulations exist. No, we should not. We should hate them to the core of our beings as free sovereign individuals who are trying to live on this planet and avoid the Malthusian propaganda that has made billions of people around the world desire their own extinction. I am 100% against that. So I am 100% on board with the repealing of this regulation.
So much noticing going on lately, James. Now put that to 20 other fields and careers and areas, punk rock, news, food, whatever areas people have been in, they've seen the corruption and the rot to the core, and they've left. So a lot of those places have been falling apart. Unfortunately, food and punk rock and all those things haven't been doing real great because the system has, been rocked to its core. And we can worry about the overcorrection and that maybe it might go too far in one of the direction. But again, it's we'll take the good news and we can get it, James. The last administration, if I recall, they had some really good rules for their friends in social media and big pharma that worked out really well for them and benefited them and shut us off and gave us less to be able to say on their platforms. We also know that the Department of War is one of the, if not the biggest polluter of the world. There are real environmental disasters, and usually it's your military filling your towns with lead, literally and figuratively. So for our final story, and I will admit, we were wondering, did they find this lady? I want to make sure I'm up to date on this story. Have you caught any of the missing grandma made-for-TV miniseries? Do you know that awesome Freedom Browser Brave that forced us all onto AI like every other platform? You suddenly are like, oh, I never asked for it. I'm getting AI search results. I said in a search, Guthrie case shows cops are spying without a Ring camera subscription. That might be kind of a little bit of a broken English, but I will include that actual Brave search with the AI tag onto it. Good Lord. The Nancy Guthrie case. And again, that doesn't mean I endorse it. That Pilato, he's always slinging that AI slop. The Nancy Guthrie case does not show, this is the AI reply. The Nancy Guthrie case does not show that law enforcement is spying without a Ring camera subscription. Instead, it highlights how the FBI recovered critical surveillance footage from residual data in back-end systems, despite the fact that Nancy Guthrie did not have an active subscription to Ring or Nest, which would have otherwise stored the video. FBI Director Kash Patel confirmed that the video and photos were recovered from residual data located in back-end systems through collaborations with private sector partners. Okay, so I was right. This indicates the footage was not stored in a user's cloud account, but existed in system backups or temporary storage, which law enforcement accessed legally, you can be sure of that. Ring founder Jamie Simonoff emphasized that Ring does not retain deleted footage without a subscription, reinforcing that the recovered data was not part of standard user storage. That's what I said. The FBI's recovery raises privacy concerns about how long and where video data may be stored, even after deletion. In short, law enforcement did not access a private subscription account. They accessed unintended residual data from company systems, not evidence from a user's paid plan. Now, an article from 2018 on Baltimore Jewish Life about how Jamie Simonoff made bank. Amazon buys Shark Tank reject Ring camera for $1 billion. Almost pretty much next week in 2018. So we've got some bookended Bezos on this episode. James, too long, didn't read. TV star's mom goes missing. Panic ensues. I wish, they would have cared this much about mothers and grandmothers. It was about six or so years ago, James. Have you seen any, I ask you this often, have you seen anything about this ridiculous giant story?
I have seen it flitting through the news wires and have done my best to avoid it. I know, understand the sort of the general outline of this story, but yes, you're honing in on the important aspect of this. What is the big media frenzy about this? At least how can that big media frenzy be used to implant propaganda for the surveillance police state? And we're seeing it now. The normalization of this use of Ring cameras and other such experiments in technocratic panopticonic evil and surveillance. And interestingly, at the exact same time, people might remember I used to do every year the Propaganda Watch, where I watch the Brock subjected me to the latest Super Bowl ads, because I would never see them otherwise. But it's interesting propaganda to examine. Well, the latest Super Bowl ad for Ring's dog tracking cameras stirs privacy controversy. So if you haven't seen this, I suggest people check it out. Yeah, we have this new search party function where, don't worry, guys, you can opt in. It's an opt-in thing. But when you do, then Ring will use its AI automated cameras to search for missing dogs. That's what it's for. So your dog goes missing. The cameras are all around your neighborhood, will track where your dog went and will be able to find your dog for you. And it returns a dog to an owner every single day, or whatever their propaganda is saying. Yay, wonderful. How could that possibly be used against us? No. You have to search. You have to opt in for this search. You know, you have to have the subscription, whatever. Nope. No, you don't. They will use this as a law enforcement technique. So the panopticonic surveillance state comes. And let's never forget that for people who know about the panopticon, the 18th century Jeremy Bentham plan for the ideal prison, the reason that that prison works is because everyone knows that they are either actively being surveilled all the time, or at least that they could be being surveilled at any moment. And therefore, you start to internalize that and act accordingly. You don't want to do anything that would upset the powers that shouldn't be and whatever the prevailing norms of the moment are, because I'm being watched. So they're letting you know you are being watched everywhere you go, whether you want it or not. And with the facial recognition and everything else, good luck trying to avoid the Ring camera surveillance network. And they're openly bragging about it on the Super Bowl. Wonderful.
Do you recall from the 30-year-old documentary called Clerks, where they're just hiding behind the counter and he puts a bucket up for people to pay and make their change? And the girlfriend's like, aren't you worried people are going to steal things? He's like, no. Most people assume when they don't see anybody around that they're being watched. And he explains that. It's a perfect explanation of a, you know, pretty large ranging kind of idea. And remember, media loves to bring the story back to be about media. It's about us. It's about our pain. And that's why we give awards to ourselves and put on giant pageants and shows. They'll always bring it back to the importance of media. And also, I mean, doesn't that, the search party, doesn't that kind of seem to show that the microchipping didn't work out? I thought we microchipped all the pets. Why are they still going missing? And recall the poo prints story, like fingerprints, poo prints, apartment places basically making you sign up to where you give your dog's DNA so they'll know you're not the one picking up the poop, which, again, the way police states go, I could almost get to the point where I'd go, yeah, I agree with that, because these people suck. And I guess, yeah, we just need to microchip our parents like our pets, and everything will work out fine. That is New World Next Week, episode 619. We run newworldnextweek.com for Corbett and Monarchy gear, because you've never heard an advertisement. But you have heard the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes. Before they are published, I get to play them on my radio show Thursday mornings at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. James, there it is, man.
Awesome. All right. Thank you for those stories. Let's do it again.
Yeah, buddy. Take care.
Take care.